Friday, 5:58 p.m.
Hi, this is Shrug.
Hi, this is Gaia, and you've reached Tales of the Trade.
We're out of studio right now.
But if you stay on the line, our Christmas special will play after the beep.
So, hello, Gaia.
Hi, Chirag.
What
Merry, Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! This is a very exciting episode. First of all, we're smack dab in the middle of our season, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a cause of celebration, right?
Also, Christmas is around the corner, and it's just such a nice time to sort of look back at, you know, all the things we've learned so far through the season and all the amazing guests we've had and just sort of run the highlight reel.
I think one of the things that we've noticed as we've gone through the season is how important some of these businesses are to the communities that they represent.
Absolutely.
It's a great time to then just take a step back and celebrate the businesses and their communities.
I think one of the things that I would really like us to get into today is what the commonalities are between all our guests, because we've obviously discussed every interview in detail after the fact, and we've like sort of deconstructed it, and we've always come back with like, oh, this person and that person have this, you know, same sort of perspective or habits in a way in terms of dealing with things. So let's talk a little bit about that, because that's pretty cool to see so many people achieving different things in different fields having so many things in common.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting, you know, the show in a way has also evolved as we've done this. You know, when we were talking over the summer about how we wanted to format the show and talk about the show, do this crisscross between you know, looking at some of these businesses and telling their stories, but focusing on the entrepreneur and what it takes to be an entrepreneur. And while we have a specific focus on, you know, Dubai businesses, but there was a larger story in there, right? What are some of the things that make an entrepreneur? We saw similar themes with community, with locations, with teams, and that kept coming up again and again and again. And so we've tried to highlight that, you know, all through the show. And what we've also done, which I really enjoy doing as well, is trying to look at each story and kind of thinking, okay, what was special about this entrepreneur? What made them different compared to the other ones we've got? So there are common traits, but then there are some things that are unique to them.
One of the things that I would say maybe the Surf House and Courtyard Playhouse have in common is this brilliant location that they have put so much love into. And it's actually very much the heart of their business. And it's wonderful to see how the space itself embodies the mission as much as the people who are running the business. And you definitely feel that, right? When you walk into like the Surf House, whether it's the cafe or you go into the Courtyard Playhouse, and you just immediately are transported into their world and their vision. And it's so fascinating to me.
It's so driven by what their niche is, right? Everything is conformed by the fact that the Surf House is catering to a surf community and Courtyard is catering to the theater.
So my name is Ronan Dennehy. I've been in Dubai about 4.5 years, and I've been involved in theatre since, I guess, pretty much since I arrived, primarily with Danu Dubai, probably done about 5 or 6 shows maybe since then. A couple were in Ducktack, but we've done maybe, personally, I've probably done about 3 shows that were produced in the Courtyard Theatre. When I went there, my first impression was this is a real theatre in many ways. You go up this narrow staircase, which turned in on itself, and then you came into this space, maybe no more than 50, 60 seats. And then backstage again, it's just these personal touches, I guess, that they've made the effort with. The green room, if you will, is, you know, it's really nicely done. It's really homely. They have the lights around the mirrors, and it's actually quite a nice space. So when you are waiting, and invariably you're a little bit nervous, it's just everything feels kind of, I suppose, it's just a nice atmosphere to work in. And I think for the audience as well, because I've obviously gone to see a number of shows there as well, it's a really, really nice experience. As well as the seats, they put some beanbags around the place as well. And again, it's just getting back to that sense of home and just being comfortable there. They'll serve you some popcorn and coffee and chocolates.
I think every one of our guests has a very deep connection with the space they work in. And actually, I feel like it's spoken about so less in terms of the entrepreneurial space and what they normally focus on in terms of interviews, etc. There's always talk about like attitude and teamwork and hustle and hard work and all of that. But, you know, where you work, like where you show up to every day is not something that's talked about a lot. So it was really great, actually, that we we kind of used each person's space as our satellite space for our podcast, because we got to experience these lovely, you know, environments that were created by the minds that were behind these businesses. So it was incredible.
I would add here as well, this is a little bit of the secret sauce. When we initially started planning, you know, we were contemplating, right, which way we would do this. If we would like sort of set up the studio and get everybody in there versus doing something else. Initially, we picked going to where they are out of convenience.
Yes.
Because it was easier to schedule and it was just easier. But I think after the first couple of them was very intentional because the energy was just different.
Absolutely.
When they're in their space where they're fueled by their creativity and they're fueled by that passion that they're running after.
And the familiarity, you know, the familiarity of the space is important for the comfort level.
Yeah, it stops becoming this formal interview and starts to become this conversation about passion and conversation about everything that they've been doing from day one.
Even Sally, you know, with Sally's, we were in her home. First of all, the fact that she was gracious enough to have us in her home. And when you, obviously, when you're recording podcasts, everything needs to be very silent. And, you know, she made sure that the house was like prepped for that. But it just felt so personal. And it really, also for us, in terms of interviewing someone, it came from, we really got the sense that we are like pretty much in the middle, in the heart of the business, right? Because you're surrounded by their things, their history of how they've come to where they have. And Sally's little nook where she does her photographs and she had all her backdrops. It was just so inspiring to be in those environments.
Before we move on to the next topic, well, it is Christmas and we felt like this would be a good time to announce, you know, our first giveaway.
Yay! It's the most wonderful time of the year. Isn't it?
you said so nonchalantly.
It is because we are feeling the feelings. It's such a jolly time of the year. And we've had so many amazing people who've connected with us and who we've connected with, right? Who've listened to the episodes. And it means so much to have people who are listening and who we can share these stories with. So we just wanted to give a little thank you and put together some goodies.
The first one is for all you entrepreneurs out there, and actually all of you out there. And this is a giveaway that comes from the awesome folks at Heart Talk, primarily focused on having difficult conversations, giving away a signed copy of the Heart Talk handbook.
What a cool idea, right? You told me about it and you said that it wasn't just Heart Talks at the workplace, but Heart Talks in general, right?
Yeah, it's all about those difficult conversations. I mean, it's funny. They get some really funny requests.
Like?
They get requests from people saying, hey, you know, how do I have the conversation with my colleague that they don't smell so good?
That's a good one. That's a really hard one, actually. Yeah.
Exactly. So this is the book that helps you do that. And we've got one to give away.
All you have to do to get your hands on this amazing handbook by Heart Talk is leave us a comment on this episode post, just telling us which has been your favorite episode from the season so far. And that's it. It's as simple as that.
Or what you can do is you can just visit talesofthe.trade, find your favorite episode, leave us a comment on the episode and tell us that was your favorite one. And we'll also enter you in.
One of the things that I have really learned along this, you know, along this half the season that we've done is that, you know, we do a lot of content that's very crisp and short and small, and everything is all about, you know, tending to very short attention spans. And because of the format of our podcast and podcasting in general, we get to tell the story in this extremely detailed way because, you know, first of all, we're interested in the whole story, and you're not always able to say that tell the story in like a minute. Some stories take longer, you know, some stories need a little bit more time and digging and asking the right questions. And some guests also need a lot more time to open up and really get into the nitty-gritty of it all. One of our goals was to tell our community of listeners, give them the full story in as much detail as we can while keeping it entertaining and interesting. And that kind of, you know, led us to also think about like the communities of these businesses and the owners of these businesses, who are they impacting, and also talking to them, right? Because that would give us an even better picture, even clearer picture of these businesses and these ideas and the reach and the impact of them.
We do live in a world where everything's very instant, and I think there's a space for all of that. I'm not saying that there isn't. But, you know, when you're doing stories of businesses that have been through quite a few ups and downs, that have been around for a little while, that have sometimes, you know, looked back, did something, failed at it, rejigged, started over, and all of these things. I mean, these are the kind of things that you kind of have to provide a lot of context. I think when we started doing it, we started realizing that, hey, you know, the people that are being impacted by these businesses are part of that story. Also, at the end of the day, these are all entrepreneurs, right? Obviously, they've got a lot of passion. Obviously, they're feeling a lot of it. But, you know, how do you measure that really? You two of us can sit here today and we can also talk very passionately about our podcast. It gets really interesting when someone listens to it and comes back and tells us, hey, I really enjoyed this episode.
Because of XYZ, or why it resonated with them is so important to know as well.
Another thing that stands out, and I know this is something that's talked about fairly often, but I think we saw an interesting perspective to it, is risk-taking. But I would rather classify it as almost irrationality. But, you know, this came up as well when we talked to the Wild PETA guys. To provide some context to that story, basically after they shut down and they were away for about 5 or 6 years, when they came back, they spoke to their community, right? And they said, hey, we're thinking about coming back. What are your thoughts, right? You guys have seen us fail as a business, and tell us what you think. And everybody told them, listen, you need help with operations. You can't do this on your own. You need a partner. And they went shopping around. They were rejected multiple times. And then one fine day they said, all right, we're just going to do it. And they went ahead and started a crowdfunding campaign without an operating partner.
I think one of the interesting characteristics of an entrepreneur is that we're very irrational people. Most people would look at danger and say, I have to run away. Entrepreneurs are like, let's run towards it. You know, we could fix it. We could do something with this. Are you going to sit there and make excuses, or are you going to do something about it? You know, so it's not people's jobs to believe in you. You know, it's up to you to get shit done.
I mean, let's not forget also the brilliant stories that Scott told us. Everything that they went through in terms of like getting their electricity back, you know, basic needs that you have, you know, that they were kind of like really struggling without. And that would be a really good time for anyone to be like, I give up. There's such a fine line between like, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to take this risk and show grit. Or to some other people, it would just be like, that's just plain stupid, you know? So it's pretty amazing how a person sees opportunity and another person doesn't. And that kind of differentiates what keeps that business going or what makes it a success, really.
Do I see myself as an entrepreneur? I don't even know how to answer that because if I'm honest, I'm really tired of the term. Yeah, I wince a little bit with that. I see myself as someone that has been lucky to have the conditions to run with something that I really love and cared about. And at times, against the odds, because I had family and friends close to me that, you know, in those darker times or, yeah, just the more challenging years, to say that, realistically, maybe there's a reason no one else is doing a surf business in Dubai, you know? And I just had a different idea, and I'm stubborn like that. I'm really stubborn.
Don't you feel like there's such an impression of entrepreneurs, or the way that they're portrayed normally, whether it's in the media or whatever, that they're extremely sort of cold and, you know, they have to make these like really intense decisions and they're kind of very cut and dry. But don't you find that whomever we've spoken to, they're actually really like emotional, almost like hyper emotional about their ideas and their businesses? Like even when we spoke with Tom, you know, and the sort of empire that he is slowly creating, and to see the steadfastness but also the passion that he had for it and how focused he was and how much love he had for what he was creating and the teams he was building, and how, you know, it's isn't it quite interesting how actually they're really emotional rather than being really like cold? And
do you remember how Tom opened his interview when we were doing a sound check with him?
When I get excited, I talk really loud. So just, yeah. Get me excited and you'll hear everything, I'm sure.
Yeah. And, you know, and which I think also to your point, though, I think that there are, you know, it's always like there's always a couple ways to look at something, right? And when you talk about Tom and his steadfastness, someone could look at it and be like, oh my God, like he's not even willing to budge on anything because he's just decided that this is the way he's going to run down this lane. And but there's another way to run this lane. Of course there is, right? There are tons of other ways to create restaurants and cafes and whatever. But this is his plan. This is what he is. And he's emotional about that. He's passionate about that. You often see this get told about entrepreneurs that they're cold. They don't have time for anybody. They don't prioritize anything.
Yeah, and, even Akansha told us, right, about like how she's like, I don't see my friends anymore. Or
the biggest joke is work-life balance. Yeah.
Exactly. So something's got to give, right? I mean, there's a part of your life that's probably going to get slightly compromised or majorly compromised. But that doesn't mean there's no emotion. There's so much emotion, but concentrated in one particular area rather than a larger, you know, parts of your life.
Let me ask you this question in a different way, right? If you look at all the entrepreneurs that we've talked to, but also the ones that we will be sharing with people soon in the new year, can you pinpoint one thing that's common among all of them?
I think that they all have a really good sense of humor in terms of a sense of humor about life, you know, because you have to be intense and you have to like really, you know, go for it. But at the same time, when things don't go your way, you have to take it in your stride. And that doesn't come if you don't have a good sense of humor about it, you know? And each of them are able to make jokes about themselves, are able to be like, oh, that was a huge mistake, and that's ridiculous. And to be able to look back at your journey and look at it with a sense of levity is extremely important because you can't take yourself too seriously, you know? At the end of the day, it doesn't become your entire life. It's a huge part of your life, but you have to have some distance from it, and humor is such a nice way to do that. I mean, Kemsley is just hilarious, but you know, but each person I feel like we talked to had that. They didn't take themselves too seriously, which I really loved. So I think it's time for another giveaway, don't you think?
We've got another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, our second giveaway comes from the awesome folks at Common Grounds.
Yay! Did you steal this? Is this part of your stash that you're giving away? Or do they know we're giving this away?
Giveaway, guys. Yeah, this is an actual giveaway. Just putting that out there. Yeah, so it's a special holiday hamper from Common Grounds. It's got a bag of coffee. It's got a special holiday coffee scrub.
Oh, wow.
And it's got two free coffees at Common Grounds during the month of January. So this is quite a steal.
This is amazing. And we're going to post a picture of this hamper on Insta stories, I think, just to, you know, show you guys what you're dealing with here, because this is a lovely little hamper. I'm pretty sure you want to keep it for yourself, but we are giving it away.
But this is why I was trying to pretend like we didn't have the second giveaway,
right?
So I could just keep it. But, you know, anyway, follow the same as the first giveaway. Basically, leave us a comment on Instagram of this post about your favorite episode and why. And you can also leave us a comment on our website, talesofthe.trade. Just go pick an episode, type it in there, and we'll enter you in. And yeah, so that's the second giveaway.
Yay!
You can't really sit and make a list and say, hey, I'm going to work on these two qualities, I'm going to become a successful entrepreneur, because that's not possible. Our own season has showed us that, you know, every entrepreneur brings something to the table and something different to the table, right? So we've looked at it as saying, hey, you know, it's about right place, right time, and being able to identify it and work on it. It's about dealing with some crazy adversities as they come in your life. It's about keeping focus. It's about building teams. It's about finding niches. It's about working for the community. It's about building locations. Like, there are so many different things.
Absolutely.
There is a combination of those things that makes a good entrepreneur. And it's not always the same combinations, and it's not always the same things. But it is a very multidimensional profession, and entrepreneurship in a way is also a profession. If you keep getting beaten down and you're not able to like wipe that off and move on, then you won't succeed, right? Because no entrepreneur goes through it without failure. It's not
and
possible.
All of them, I feel like, have another thing, which I think it's not just with entrepreneurship, like I think anything in life, each of them like follow their instinct, right? I mean, they all work off of like, oh, this felt right. There's no logic to it. You know, a lot of the times when it's like, that makes no sense, they're like, no, it made complete sense to me. It just felt like the right thing to do.
You have that look that nobody else is seeing. I mean, that's something Akansha mentioned.
There have been cases where me and someone else are looking at exactly the same thing and we see different different use cases of it, and I'm suddenly like, goosebump moment, you know, we're on to something. Whereas, for example, I never quite felt that with, you know, haptics, apps, you know, at some point they were the thing, AR was the thing.
With Kemsley, them knowing that they had to crowdfund or that that was the right time to do it, just like a lot of instinct at play, like Arvas talking about, okay, this was the right time for to bring Farida in, something she'd always wanted to do. There's so much of that instinct game at play there, you know? And to base your entire efforts on a feeling, like you're really leading with your instinct, which I think is pretty cool and takes a lot of guts.
And I think also, I mean, you talk about logic, but I think a lot of times what happens is, you know, instinctively, you know, it's right. And then the word logic comes afterwards.
Absolutely.
Then you sit there and then you like work through it, or you hand it off to somebody else who, or a partner, or, you know, whatever, a co-founder or whatever it is. And who sits there and then process and be like, hey, by the way, you were right, because I've actually put the numbers down, or I've actually like worked it out, and it turns out you're right. But a lot of it comes from instinct. And I think a lot of that as well comes from, it's this combination of, you know, that level of deep passion. You're so obsessed by this thing that instinctively you can tell when something feels right and when something doesn't.
It's like falling in love.
Oh dear God.
We have to get a little mushy gushy. It's Christmas. Also, I have a question for you. Which has been your favorite episode so far?
You're asking a parent to choose between his five little kids. I have two.
Okay, fine.
For pure entrepreneurship value, for something where I think just raw inspiration came from, I think I would rate Surf House as my pick. That episode, I can keep listening to it over and over again because it reminds me of what that perseverance is like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, from putting together an episode, I think Courtyard was one of my favorites. The conversation was just hilarious.
Yeah.
And of course, first of all, like we recorded in the theater, which I think was just such a phenomenal experience
it
to
was.
Do.
It was.
Right. And then, you know, we had two guests who were just, you know, sense of humor up the top, you know, talking about the funniest things, cheeseburgers thrown at heads, and potential employees who saw spirits. Like, it just, the range was insane, right?
It was truly theatrical.
Very theatrical. And I think so from that, from a theater value, but also I think from an impact value, I went to see one of the shows. I spoke to Porig Downey, who works in drama at the GEM school here in Dubai. And he's currently working on a production of Beckett's Endgame.
Nice.
Which will be staged at the Courtyard.
I've said it before and I'll say it again and again and again because it needs to be said, because they need support. We all need support. But the Courtyard are really a lifeline for the theatre community here. It's actively growing, the theatre scene here. You know, it's a constant because many theatre groups come and go. We've seen so many people come and go over the last number of years. I've been in Dubai 8 years. But the Courtyard is something that we can always rely on. And I can't tell you how supportive they've been to me personally, even just running auditions, even just having rehearsals. So as a theatre group, when you have a million things going kind of wrong leading up to the show, they're just kind of a voice of support in your ear, and they're there to lift us up. For my students in Dubai American Academy, they've also given them internships. They're seeing the theatre as not just something to be done academically in school, but also as a livelihood, as a craft, as an enterprise. And that's wonderful to see. And our numbers, you know, we have, you know, 17, 18 students each year take the IB program, but much more of them each year, especially girls, are going forward to study theatre professionally. And that's something that the Courtyard really should be credited with also.
And I think, like, just listening to all of that, listening to the feedback we got on the episode, listening to all the people talking about Courtyard in the last couple of weeks has just been phenomenal.
Courtyard is a really, it holds a very special place in my heart too, because I've been going there for so many years. And, you know, I've sort of like seen their story shape up as one of their patrons, you know, and I've performed in one of their grassroots reviews. And then to actually find out things that I didn't know about them during our interview was so interesting and fascinating. And as you said, like, it was just fun. It was just so much fun. You know, we laughed a lot, almost like parts of it were unusable because we were just laughing through. I loved Surf House as well for the exact same reasons, because I think we were kind of like dumbfounded. I mean, it took us a minute after we finished the interview and we were like, that was really good, wasn't it? Like, we didn't even, we didn't know what we were walking into. And I love those kinds of interviews. I loved Akanksha's story and Socialize because, first of all, it was like the first interview we did together. And so it was special for me because it was like, what a way to start, you know, recording together and creating these episodes. But also, she's a very special person. And, you know, when you first meet her, you think, oh, she's like really light and energetic. And she's got like a, she's very like friendly, you know. And as you get to know her, you're like, whoa, she's really, she can be extremely like intense and steadfast and, you know, like a real champion. So it was really cool to go through that interview and just uncover who she was and also this brilliant story of how she's built this business from scratch. So those are my favorites.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, as you know, the way you mentioned Foucauldia, I mean, that's how I feel about Tom and Serge. And I didn't talk about them because I think I'm just very personally connected to them.
You're
and
so obsessed it's, with them, let's
yeah,
face it.
So, yeah, yeah, it's the same thing, right? I think you are very closely linked to the story, and yet there is stuff to discover. Yet there's stuff you learn. You're like, whoa, I did not realize that it happened, or I did not know this part of the story because it's something that happened behind the scenes, or it's something that affected just the entrepreneur
Chirag,
directly.
It's like falling in love.
Oh, no.
There's so much more to know. There's always more to know, right? There's always more to discover. I think that that analogy fits in perfectly.
No comment.
Okay, so I think it's time for our final giveaway.
And our final giveaway comes from the folks at Cherry Picks, Your Life in Print. It's a great idea for the holidays as well.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, we have all these digital photos and we're sitting and clicking them all the time and then just storing them in, you know, digitally. So Cherry Picks allows you to sort of bring that down and make it a memory. So what you do is you download the app, you pick, you know, 30 pictures, and then they print it out in a neat little photo book and send it to you. And for our listeners, we've got a free photo book to give away from the awesome folks at Cherry Picks.
That's amazing. I used to remember, like, sitting with my mom after many, many parties or things that we used to have as kids, and we used to like compile all the photos that we'd gotten printed at like Rose Studio, and we just put them in albums, and how much joy it brings, because the idea of having your photos in this like physical form as opposed to just something you can swipe on your phone is just so special. No,
it's still true. I mean, we still have pictures from when we were kids and stuff, and they're, you know, some of them are digitized, but we still have them in albums. And I mean, my mom's very careful about like just preserving that, because for them, those were the memories back then, right? There was a photo studio on every street, and you would take pictures at this event and then go and run to the photo studio and print them out and see them physically and get all excited.
So thank you, Cherry Pick, for doing this, because that's so cool. I think I'm going to like order a bunch for Christmas as well. I think that'd be a really nice little...
Yeah, they did make a great holiday gift, actually.
Yeah, awesome. But these are some lovely... I'm like, can I keep the giveaways for myself? They're awesome. But
yeah, it's very tempting.
Once again, for any of these giveaways, all you have to do is go to our Instagram page or our website, talesofthe.trade, and leave us a comment just telling us what your favorite episode was from this season, and it's as simple as that.
All right, so I think that's all we've got for this episode.
It was really fun to like look back and super excited for what's to come. And we'll be making some announcements about those episodes to come very soon.
We hope you all have, you all have an enjoyable
holiday season. A very Merry
season.
Christmas. Yes, and a Happy New Year.
So we've got one more episode out for you guys next week. And then we'll be back in January on the 8th with a brand new episode, brand new guest. And we're very excited about that. And if you enjoy what you're listening to, leave us a review. We love reviews. And it also helps people discover the show and tell your friends. And
so many tales to be told, so many more stories to be shared. Pull up a chair and join the conversation.